Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! We're on a road!
Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we help you get the week really rolling. All right, thanks again for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen.
Really do appreciate you being out there.
All right, as we're coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Of course, always on your Alexa devices now and AM660TheAnswer.com. And, of course, you can still download the free Answer Orlando app into that smart device of yours where you can always listen to us as well if you haven't already done that. All right, we got a big show lined up for you tonight. By the way, the Rays are off tonight after a big weekend. Boy, they finally broke out of their whatever it was, slumber. I guess you could say that the lumber had a slumber, but the bats have woken up and the pitching seems to have woken up, sort of anyway. But they were able to sweep the series from the Twins, and I hope all the folks who went to the game, compliments of the Rays and the station here, enjoyed yourselves. And pretty exciting finish to the ball game last night as well. Okay, but they're off tonight, so we got the full 2 hours to go here. So just sit right back and take it all in, if you can, please. I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Nick Lo Cicero is on the bridge. Once again, the number from the Relax and Comfort, or I should say to the Relax and Comfort Studios, is 407-774-8255. Abe Katzman will be joining us here shortly in the first hour of the show, live from back home in Jerusalem. And boy, we got a lot to talk to him about, as usual. And I'm sure we're going to find out things talking to Abe that we haven't heard anywhere else, because that's what happens pretty much every time we talk with Abe Katzman. By the way, his website is Abe Katzman, that's with an S.com, if you'd like to visit him there. Also, our old buddy Dino Rentos is going to check in with us for a little while in the second hour of the show. Crypto
Man, I'm calling him. We're going to talk about what is this phenomena of cryptocurrency, because he understands it better than anybody I know. So we'll talk about it a little bit with him today. Once again, we will entertain those phone calls. So if you feel the itch, just go ahead and give us a call. I'm monitoring the monitor because the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is calling to order a meeting tonight, a hearing to vote on the to recommend or not the confirmation of Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State. It appears as though it is going to vote to recommend him. Rand Paul, who had said previously that he would be a no vote, has now said that he is going to be a yes vote. And he had been the only Republican on the committee and who had said he would not vote for the president, for the president's choice of Pompeo. And now it appears as though it'll be a strict party line vote from the committee to recommend Mike Pompeo. Why does this make a difference? Even if they were to vote not to recommend him, he would still be presented on the floor of the Senate. However, there would be a cloture vote involved that would require to get him an actual confirmation vote. So we got to go through that 60-vote thing to get to the 51-vote thing. With this recommendation, presuming that it does happen, the cloture vote is bypassed. It goes straight to the floor for an up or down vote. And even if John McCain is not able to vote or would vote against him, and even if Rand Paul were to turn against him, we now have Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin on the Democrat side who say they will vote for Mike Pompeo to confirm him. So it appears as though Mike Pompeo will be confirmed, and it's high time that he is confirmed because there's a lot of work to be done, but he's already at it. The bottom line is he's already at it, and this is in a way a formality, but a necessary formality. But once again, when that final vote occurs, we'll let you know. But they are currently calling to order the meeting, so the vote should occur here fairly quickly. In the meantime, we'll be also talking about, by the way, they caught that Nashville shooter. He finally came out of the woods today. I guess he was tired, hungry, dehydrated, whatever. And they did apprehend him without an event, and he is now in custody. And tragic, four dead. It appears as though this guy has serious mental illness, something in the order of schizophrenia. He was apprehended at the White House several months ago, trying to enter the White House, evidently with a gun. And that's when his guns were taken away by ATF and Secret Service and given to his father, who ended up giving them back to the kid. So the father is definitely in legal jeopardy himself, along with his son, and just a terrible situation. Of course, the gun nuts are out. The gun opposition nuts are out trying to once again make something out of this. But in fact, it was the bravery of a man who had the advantage of being in a tight situation, tight quarters with the shooter, and so was able to overwhelm the shooter and take the gun away from him. And basically, to hear the man say it, it was, well, if I'm going to die, I'm at least going to go down fighting. And that's a pretty good attitude to have. But he probably was also thinking, boy, I sure wish I had a gun right now. So, by the way, we talked last night a little bit about this, and we also talked about there is an arms race going on across the European Union. But it's not an arms race where nations are, spending on military. It is an arms race. And by the way, this was the phrase used by the authors of a study that was released last week in the European Union and funded by the European Union. And the arms race they're talking about is amongst criminal, what they characterized as criminal and militant groups. Now, of course, we know that in most countries in Europe, it's near impossible to get a gun. Unless, of course, you're in a criminal or militant group. And then it turns out it's not so difficult at all, and in fact getting easier, as the term arms race may indicate. But anyway, the Nashville shooter has been apprehended. And also, there appears to have been a terrorist attack this afternoon in Toronto, Canada. Another vehicle attack. And, once again, people say, guns are the problem, Well, not in Toronto. And we've seen this before. We saw it in New York. We've seen it in Europe. A vehicle, rented vehicle, when this one was today, being used as an implement of war is what it boils down to. These are terrorists. This is a war. It certainly is to them. And to people who know what we're dealing with here, they recognize it as such. So vehicles are being used as implements of war in order to kill civilians and instill terror in people. The Canadians have not officially called this the terrorist act, but it has all of the earmarks of a terrorist attack. Evidently, the guy got out of the van after running over 8 or 10 people so far, at least 5 dead, I believe. And the police had surrounded him. And he got out of the van holding his cell phone, kind of like he pretending it to be a gun, saying, "I have a gun, I have a gun." But one of the police officers who was holding a gun on him evidently recognized that he did not and tackled him, and he was apprehended. Hopefully, we will find out more about this. Of course, Canada has imported their own problems because they have welcomed the refugees from Middle East and Northern African regions, not really knowing who they are welcoming into their country. By the way, the Syrian refugees coming into the United States have been pretty much eliminated under President Trump. If you remember, we had taken in, I believe, 10,000 it was in the last year of the Obama administration, and Hillary was bragging she was going to jack up the number, I think, to 50 or 100,000, whatever. And Trump said, no, I don't think so. And he has shut off the tap. And so Syrian refugees are not coming into the United States, but they're still going somewhere. And, some of them are honest, decent people, but a lot of them are not. And it's impossible to tell who is who. And that's the problem. And we have enough problem with the homegrown terrorism that we don't need to be importing any. And evidently, this is something that Canada is going to have to face. Now, obviously, this is a problem for young Trudeau because he has been so welcoming. He has been so apologetic. He has been so accommodating to people who are, many of them, determined to do something to upset the cultural balance in Canada. So perhaps he can explain himself. We shall see. And also, there appears to be a media war a-brewing. And I mean a downright good old-fashioned media war. And what I mean by that is Kellyanne Conway and Dana Bash got into it yesterday. And Dana Bash asked Kellyanne Conway about some tweets that her husband had been sending out. And by the way, her husband is not a big fan of Donald Trump. And her relationship with Donald Trump is probably, how should I say this? Let me be careful here because I don't want to say anything and presume something I don't know. But I think it's as much professional as anything else, if you know what I mean. So her husband has been sending out some tweets, I guess, basically airing out some complaints. And Dana Bash had the audacity to ask it as the last question in an interview. And it was like the whole interview, they were just sort of setting up this ambush. And so she asked Kellyanne Conway about it. And Kellyanne, in essence, turned it on her and said, okay, so we've now crossed the Rubicon. So now it's okay to ask about spouses. It's now okay to bring spouses into this debate, so to speak. And they went back and forth for a while, and it never really came to anything other than that Kellyanne Conway said, okay, All right, you've gone there now. So, okay, the gloves are off. It's okay. And lo and behold, didn't take any time at all for little old Chuck Todd to be exposed to the media war when it was exposed that his wife, yeah, Chuck Todd of NBC, you know, that morning show, and the his wife is a political operative. She helps campaigns. She is a consultant. She consulted, it was Bernie Sanders' campaign. She consulted with Democrats, by the way. And these are individuals that end up, of course, on Chucky Boy's show. And I've watched his show many a time and never heard him talk about his wife's connections. I think I have heard him say on occasion, just for disclosure, I just want you to know that my wife is a political consultant, but never, you know, really went into it. But the whole point is not necessarily that. It's that now, thank you, CNN, it's okay to bring this stuff in. And by the way, he was on a New York radio show today venting about this. He didn't like it at all because it cuts to the heart of his credibility, and he understands that. And that's what this media war is really all about, credibility. Because in this business, that's all you got. And when you don't have that anymore, you're out of business. And the problem that the mainstream media has had since Donald Trump came along is that they have lost their credibility. They've lost it along with their minds. And they just keep pushing harder. They lost their credibility because they had so missed the Trump phenomena, the Trump effect. And they missed, therefore, the election. And so we're so blindsided about it. Well, rather than being introspective and saying, okay, so we got it wrong. Well, what would we do wrong? Instead, they doubled down on being wrong. And along came the whole Russia collusion BS. And in a beautiful twist of fate, which I sort of predicted on this show when Herr Mueller was first appointed, I said, now, this may not be a bad thing. This could be a good thing because really the collusion was on the other side. And so maybe Mueller will go there. Well, I was wrong about that part, but I was right in this sense, that this investigation over this supposed Russia collusion into Donald Trump has revealed two things. One, there was no collusion with Donald Trump. Two, there was a lot of collusion with the Democrats and a lot of other things going on, too, that are now being exposed as a result of this harebrained investigation. It's also a part of what I call the Moby Dick effect, where Donald Trump is Moby Dick and all of these other people are Ahabs, and they're determined to get Moby Dick, even if it kills them, as it does just that. I see I got Abe on the line. Let me take a real quick break, and then we'll come back with Abe Katzman. He's coming to us live from Jerusalem. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself. At Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Yeah, the heavy slowdowns on I-4 starting at Colonial Drive and that continues through downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the Millennia area. Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport to I-4. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to John Young Parkway. 408 eastbound is fairly clear with the exception of some slowdowns in the Azalea Park area and Orlando Executive Airport areas. You also have a crash on I-4 eastbound at the 408 that is causing slowdowns. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, a
course, that music means it is time for none other than Abe Katzman. And once again tonight, he is joining us live from Jerusalem, where it's late in the evening over there. So once again, thanks for staying up late with us here, Abe. We really appreciate that.
Hey, always happy to be with you.
All right, good, good. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions about a couple of things that are actually happening right now in Washington, D.C. First of all, Prime Minister Macron of France, has arrived at the White House, first official state visit for the Trump administration. Is this relationship, which seems to be a pretty close one between Macron and Trump, does it cause any nervousness or trepidation in Israel because there has been so much anti-Semitic activity in France, especially recently, it seems?
I think the question from Israel's standpoint is exactly who Macron is and where he stands. It's a little bit of a blank slate. I think Israel was reassured when they saw that France participated with the U.S. and the U.K. in those attacks on Syria after they had used chemical weapons. I don't think the problem is with the French government has always been kind of unreliable when it comes to Israel support.
Right.
But I don't think that Israel worries so much about the current French government. They do worry that there is that a French government may have to pay attention to political pressure from an ever larger Islamic community there and a ever more vocally anti-Israel and anti-Semitic community. But for the time being, I don't think that's the biggest worry.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Mike Pompeo, it appears as though the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is going to vote him out with a recommendation for confirmation. If he's confirmed, does that make people in Israel happy?
Yes. They were quite happy with him as head of the CIA. They'll be happy with him as the head of the State Department. I think that, it's one appointment after another that people in Israel are pretty happy with. The John Bolton appointment. I think that people in Israel at least those who see things more or less the same way that the Likud party and the government and Prime Minister Netanyahu see things, I think they can't believe their luck at this point, that they actually have an American administration that seems to go down the line understanding Israel's position and supporting Israel's position. And I always tell people just, be careful. Just because you have seven fat years doesn't mean that there aren't seven lean years right behind it. Don't take it for granted while you've got it.
Amen to that. Well, listen, Abe, got to go ahead and take this break. When we come back, we have a lot to talk about, and we will be doing that with Abe Katzman. Once again, you can visit his website. That's abekatzman.com. You spell Katzman with an S. And by the way, while you're on the internet, you can like us. That's American Adversaries on Facebook, and join the Trump 2020 Club on Facebook. That's Trump 2020 Club on Facebook. All just that easy. Okay, so we'll be right back after this short break, so please stay with us. The American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Some breaking news. Voting is now underway on Capitol Hill, and SRN correspondent Linda Kenyon reporting that Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has now switched his vote and says he will now vote yes for CIA Director Mike Pompeo to take over the State Department. Again, we're following the nomination and the vote as it happens right now closely for you. A Toronto police official says 9 people have been killed, 16 injured from a van that jumped onto a sidewalk and struck pedestrians in the north part of the city. The driver fled the scene before being caught and taken into custody. Witnesses say the driver drove at least half a mile intentionally at people. Authorities say the suspect in the quadruple homicide at a Waffle House early Sunday in Nashville has been arrested. 29-year-old Travis Reinking was taken into custody, armed at the time of his arrest. And on Wall Street today, the Dow closing down 14, NASDAQ down 18, S&P remaining unchanged. This is SRN News.
Answer traffic now.
A motorcyclist was killed on a fiery crash on Silver Star Road this morning just before 4 a.m. The motorcyclist struck the right side of a pickup truck making a turn on Coastline Drive, erupting into flames. The motorcyclist has not been identified yet, and the driver of the truck was not injured. The investigation is currently ongoing. A new fully immersive ride based on the Fast and the Furious franchise is now opened at Universal Studios Orlando. The ride includes 15 souped-up cars from the movie, and once you get boarded on the ride, you're taken on a street race through Los Angeles with stunts and thrills. While the ride is open to guests as of today, an official opening event will be held on May 2nd. The Rays beat the Twins yesterday and are taking on the Orioles tomorrow. We have a high of 85 and a low of 70 with more rain on the forecast. Your AccuWeather details in just a moment. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer News Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com. Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
You have heavy slowdowns on I-4 starting at Colonial Drive and that continues through downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the Millennia area. Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport to I-4. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to John Young Parkway. 408 eastbound is fairly clear with the exception of some slowdowns in the Azalea Park area and Orlando Executive Airport areas. You also have a crash on I-4 eastbound at the 408 that is causing slowdowns. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Oh yes, this is B, Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, and I'm tired of those sticky liberal lies. That's why I tune in to the American Adversaries, where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
All right, and it was fun having the Killer Bee and Delicious D in the studio with me and the other guys on Friday. Hope you caught that show. If you didn't, of course, you can go to our archive at AmericanAdversaries.com and catch all of our shows again at your convenience. All right, we're here. We're live, the American Adversaries, on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, from the Relax and Comfort Studios, where you can call us at 407-774-8255. I am Christopher Hart, and we have Abe Katzman on the line with us right now. Abe, while we're on the subject of talking about Mike Pompeo, which we were on a few minutes ago, and by the way, it looks like they're voting on him right now. But that aside, one of the first things he might do when he comes to Israel is open up a new embassy. Is that still on track?
That's actually very much on track. The only questions right now seem to be who is going to be leading the U.S. delegation for the opening ceremony that is scheduled for May 14th. They're talking about a delegation of 250 people. As of now, there are names being floated around. Nikki Haley might be might be a part of it. As of now, it seems that Secretary Treasury Mnuchin would be here along with Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. That remains to be seen. But the important thing is that they are on pace to have this embassy open, which is all the more impressive considering how much red tape they actually had to cut through in order to do this. But it also goes to show you that when you set your mind to get something done, you get it done, whatever the bureaucracy involved.
Yeah, that seems to be the trait of Trump. Are there a lot of security arrangements, additions, whatever, having to be made to the building itself, or was it already a pretty secure location?
Well, it's a pretty secure location. What they're doing now is something interim. But they took a consulate building, so that the U.S. had already constructed, in anticipation that at some point this might be the site of the embassy. But they're going to make it's just going to be a skeleton staff for openers. This is going to be, I think, one building of what I think is going to be a much larger complex. But the one building, I believe, is secure enough. I mean, they felt it was secure enough to operate it as a consulate. I'm not sure why it would be so much different as an embassy. There will be some embassy staff. The ambassador will be there. That's the key.
That, in essence, that is the main thing, is that the ambassador, that's his office, so to speak. That's where he'll be residing. That could be in a house somewhere out in the middle of the desert, I suppose, right?
He actually has, now you talk about security, he actually has a home in Jerusalem. He's got a vacation apartment that he does not stay in now because the security people don't feel that it is secure enough. Right. So they keep him elsewhere. He doesn't get to stay in his own home. We'll see where they put them. In a way, I think, you know, when you talk about all these embassies moving to Jerusalem, if they do, a couple of them are going to, but if others follow, I think that a lot of the staff will be a little bit unhappy because right now, I mean, if you take a look at the American ambassador residence, which is north of Tel Aviv, it's beautiful. It overlooks the Mediterranean. It's got beautiful grounds. I mean, I'm sure they're going to hang on to it and use it quite often.
Right.
You know, there are probably people who are kind of saying, really? We've got to go to Jerusalem? This is beautiful here.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll spur a construction boom in a particular side of town, I guess. Let me ask. I got a question about Gaza. I got a question about the Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. And I got a question about the West Bank. So let's sort of take them alphabetically. The last couple of times we have spoken, there's been these protests on the Gaza border there that have resulted in violence, and they seem to be escalating. And I believe that Hamas has announced, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to continue for about another month. Can you fill us in?
Right. They announced something that they're calling the March of Return. Where they're having large numbers, I mean, thousands and thousands of people march on the border, and they're kind of daring Israel to stop them. Israel has been actually pretty restrained if you take a look at what they've been doing. They've been trying to avoid casualties as much as possible, and part of that is because casualties play into the hands of Hamas. What they have been doing is coming toward the fence, placing bombs or IEDs or trying to cut parts of it, and those who come that close to the fence get shot, either with rubber bullets they get tear gas dropped on them, and there's some live ammo also. Apparently, I think this has been going on for 4 weeks. The death toll is at about 35 total. But yes, they do plan on escalating these, and I think it will get There's going to be a serious confrontation there, the second week of May, because it will coincide with the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, and it will also coincide with what they call Nakba Day. Nakba is their word for catastrophe, and to them, the catastrophe was the creation of the State of Israel and the failure of the invading Arab armies to annihilate the new State of Israel and to wipe out as many Jews as possible. That's the big catastrophe.
It would appear that their strategy is they're going to get the sympathy of the world to come around on their side and put pressure once again on Israel. It doesn't seem to have caught on so far, but as they escalate this, obviously that must be a concern.
Yes, it is. And Israel always knows that it's got the diplomatic deck stacked against it.
Right.
So, for example, one of the people killed, there was a 15-year-old boy killed. Now, it turns out the 15-year-old boy was, I believe, planting a bomb at the fence.
Sure.
And he was killed.
Right.
But that elicited all sorts of outrage from various from foreign countries, the UN ambassador, the UN envoy, was condemning this. It's not unexpected. One thing that's happened, though, it's not like there's any kind of there's not a lot of uniformity necessarily or unity on the Gaza side. At the mourning tent for this 15-year-old boy, apparently fights have broken out between Hamas supporters and Fatah supporters. The Hamas people, ironically enough, are accusing the Fatah people of trying to score political points through this death. So it's like, what's Hamas doing? they're fighting over who is going to get the political points.
Oh, it's like the pot calling the kettle black here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. But there have also been, in a way, the protests, or whatever you want to call them, haven't been necessarily going so well. By the way, they've included, there are always a couple of new touches. One of them last week was to fly kites with big swastikas on them over to Israel with swastikas and gasoline bombs in order to set Israeli fields on fire. And they set a couple of fires that I think took out about 25 acres. So I'm not sure what is there an Iron Dome to take out kites? I'm not sure. But there have also been there was a tunnel collapse where a Hamas terrorist was killed. There are three more that were killed in what they always call a work accident explosion, which usually means people that were working on a bomb.
Right.
So, I don't think that it's caught on quite as well as Hamas hoped, but I don't think it's way too soon to say, well, that failed, because there's going to be a big, big push over the next few weeks. That second week of May.
For the media to really, get behind them, instead of swastikas on those kites, they need to put the peace symbol, with the gasoline bombs, and then that'll be okay, right? let me ask.
Put a dove.
There you go. Right. Yeah, exactly. Golan, I just caught a whisper of a wisp, I guess it is, of news this morning that there was a mortar. Was it a mortar attack or a stray mortar from the Golan Heights? Can you explain what happened, please?
It is believed to be a stray mortar. Israel has a policy that it is going to respond to every one of these supposedly stray mortars, because some of them may not be stray, and they are going to hold the Syrian government accountable. So as a result, Israel destroyed a Syrian artillery position, and that's it for now. This is, but there are certainly worrying developments regarding Syria. By the way, just coming over the news minutes before I came on here is that the general who's the head of CENTCOM, the commander of U.S. forces in Syria, just made an unannounced visit to Israel and is going to be meeting with all kinds of senior military people here.
That's good.
It's interesting for, exactly what's going to be discussed would be interesting. It's also interesting that usually Israel interacts with EUCOM, with the European command, because CENTCOM deals with all the Middle Eastern countries, and they don't like, these countries don't like it when CENTCOM deals with Israel. But now, apparently, this might be an interesting barometer of where things stand with Israel and some of these other Arab countries. If CENTCOM is now dealing directly with Israel and with these Arab countries, there may be some real progress that's been made.
Well, certainly, I don't want to get too far down this path, but, you know, when MBS was in the United States, Mohammed bin Salman, yep. The crown prince, he certainly, I mean, he put on the suit, you know, I didn't see any pictures of him with a tie on, but he was certainly wearing Western clothes, and he was meeting with all kinds of people, Elon Musk, entertainers. It was quite an extraordinary thing, which got very little coverage. I mean, Time magazine did a story on it, but other than that, it got very, very little coverage. Did it get any coverage over there?
Yeah, they're watching him from here. They're watching him very carefully. I think people are fascinated. I think people are hopeful. I mean, nobody is sure exactly what he's going to do, but so far, all the moves that have been made seem to be very much the kinds of moves that Israel would like to see, both in terms of de-Islamicizing Saudi society, and just in terms of strategic and military alliances, they're very pleased with him, and wishing him a long life, which is not always the fate of somebody doing the things that he's doing.
Right.
But there are also, I mean, there's as a result of, there's still fallout from these attacks from last week. Russia is now talking about putting S-300 anti-aircraft systems into Syria, and they said that they threatened catastrophic results if Israel hits them, but they haven't put them in yet. So that's one thing. Another interesting development, I'll just throw this out there, Rosneft is the name of the one of the big Russian oil companies, and sometimes sort of acts as a foreign policy arm of Russia. They just bought the Iraqi Kurdistan oil pipelines that ship oil through Turkey. Baghdad is not happy about it. I don't know quite what to make of this, except that it looks like Russia is looking to gain more control. This is not just a corporate move. This is a
right.
This is Russia doing this.
Yeah, and that would be one way to gain political control is to control that flow of oil. I mean, that's key to those economies through there. So, yeah, no doubt. Hey, real quick, one last question about Syria, then I want to take a break. If you'll stay with me through that, we have a couple more questions.
Of course.
Did Israel make a second strike? I know they made a strike into Syria before the missile attack by the coalition forces. Was there a follow-along strike by Israel afterward?
I forget the order of it, but there was, whatever it was, they've been showing satellite images from the attack on this, an attack on a base, on an Iranian base
right.
in Syria that is an attack drone air base. And they took it out. Apparently they killed, it seems that they killed 7 Iranian Revolutionary Guard personnel, and but they showed the satellite pictures, and it looks like it practically looks like they cleaned up afterwards. There's no damage outside of the hangars that they that they attacked, that they knocked out. It's pretty good.
Good targeting, absolutely. Okay, let's take a break. And once again, when we come back, Abe is still going to be with us. I hope you will be as well. You're listening to the American Adversaries live from the Relax and Comfort Studios, and we're coming right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
You have I-4 slowdowns as far back as Longwood all the way through downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the Millennia area right now. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to Junyon Parkway. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area all the way to the 408-417 exchange, maybe a little bit after that. I'm Zwayne in the Transfer Traffic Update, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get right back to Abe Katzman, who's coming to us live from Jerusalem. All right, Abe, let me ask you this question about the West Bank. Is it true that the West Bank has lost something, something that it probably never, well, that it certainly never should have had?
Okay, that's a good way to ask the question.
Okay.
Forever, seemingly, it's actually only since the Carter administration, we've been hearing even American administrations refer to the occupied West Bank, to the Israel's occupation. It's inaccurate. Occupation has a particular legal definition that does not fit here, and the U.S. officially now seems to be looking at this as these are lands that Israel administers but does not occupy. Where they did this is there's an annual State Department human rights report, what they call the Country Reports on Human Rights, each year. And they have reports on about 200 different countries. And usually for the last few decades, it said Israel and the occupied territories. That headline is gone. It now says Israel, Golan Heights, West Bank and Gaza, no more occupation. And the other thing that's interesting about this is that they're now that once you remove occupation, since occupation is the all-purpose excuse for dysfunction among the Palestinian governing authorities, there is, they actually write about nepotism and corruption and injustice within the Palestinian leadership. So that's also also something new. What I think Israel will look for is whether this change is might have a ripple effect, maybe on some of the other countries, the same way that the embassy move seems that it might have a ripple effect on some of the other countries. But this sure, you know, this is it's just one more thing that this that the Trump administration has been doing that is just, you know, it's in line with truth. It's in line with accuracy. And not coincidentally, it's in line with Israel's approach to its own security and the security of the region.
It also seems to indicate that, shall we say, lower-level people at the State Department are in line with this administration. That seems to be pretty extraordinary, too, Abe.
Either that or the president ordered it, which is also quite possible.
I'll take either way.
People just didn't have a choice. Either way, exactly.
All right. I only got 3 minutes left. Can you, in that time, explain to me this thing about price tags? What is this, and what is the hullabaloo about it?
Yeah, price tag. This is a kind of unfortunate topic. There are a lot of disaffected ultra-nationalist, very religious teenagers, mostly, who feel that who take it upon themselves to seek revenge every time there is some kind of Palestinian attack. So it's mostly in the form of it's arson, it's vandalism, it's smashing car windows and slashing tires, and then writing the words price tag on this.
I see.
So they'll go into a local village where they believe the attacker, like a terrorist, may have come from, and they'll do this sort of thing.
I see.
The government treats them as terrorists. In fact, to the point that there are complaints that these kids are not getting due process. They get administrative detention and the like, but it's. That's the idea. They think they're helping things by showing that there will be a price paid for committing attacks against Jews.
Right. Well, vigilantism seldom pays positively. One last question. Got about a minute or so. What's going on with South Africa? I thought they just had like a new government take over, and all of a sudden they're wanting to march with the Palestinians and taking sides against Israel. What's all that about? Do we know?
Yeah, it's not actually so new. This goes back. The African National Congress and the PLO have a long-standing relationship, and it goes back to the time that both were supported by the Soviets. They were common revolutionaries, and today they are with Hamas. They're lined up with Hamas, which does not bode well, I think, for South Africa's future.
No.
These are Hamas advocates ethnic cleansing. What does that say about where the ANC may take things? We know about these land seizures that they're talking about, taking land from white farmers. What else might happen? I don't know. I don't think it looks good.
No, definitely not. Apartheid never fits well on anybody, I guess, right? They used to take a lesson from their own history. Well, God bless you, Abe. We always take a great lesson from you, and you deliver constantly. We really appreciate you. So you take care of yourself now, and we'll be praying for you in Israel.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good night. All right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We are live and coming right back to you after this short break. Don't forget, we're here till 7 o'clock. Then you got Larry Elder, the great Eldersky, the sage from South Central. He'll take you right on up through the evening. So you got a lot of great radio to go right here tonight.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our friends without a road.
Welcome to hour number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios. Once again, the number is 407-774-8255. And we've got some breaking news for you. We're going to get to here in just a moment. But first of all, I want to remind you, this Saturday, we're going to be participating in, when I say we, I mean the American Adversaries, are going to be participating along with the Republican Party of Orange County in the second annual Puerto Rican Day Parade and Festival in downtown Orlando. The parade kicks off at noon, right through down the streets of downtown there. It'll be obvious what's going on. There'll be signs and roads blocked off and all that sort of thing, so get there early. And this is, once again, outreach to the Puerto Rican community and the new folks who have moved here because of the storm damage in Puerto Rico and resettled in Florida, in Central Florida in particular. And we just want to let them know that we got a lot more in common with them in terms of our ideological beliefs than liberals do. So please come out and join us. And that's this Saturday at noon. And if you'd like to find out more details, you can go to Trump 2020 Club to find out more details and come on out and help us out. And now that's at noon. Now that morning, you can do the walking yourself. For the Walk for Life, it's going to be at Baldwin Park once again this year. It was there last year at the Blue Jacket part of Baldwin Park. And the registration starts at 8 a.m. that morning, and the walk is at 9 o'clock. You don't have to really walk. It's really a fundraiser, though, for the Choices Women's Clinic. And you can go to choicesministries.org to find out more about that. That's choicesministries.org. And our own John Barros, of course, is going to be there. And he's looking for people to sponsor him. And he has a GoFundMe site set up. You can go to ministriessync.com. MinistrySync, S-Y-N-C, ministrysync.com. And just check out the Choices Women's Clinic for the benefactor, and then John Barros, and you'll go on there, and you'll see what his goal is and how much he's raised, and he's done pretty good. He's not at his goal yet, though, so if you can help John out, please do that at ministrysync.com. And then, of course, you can just show up that morning and hand him a check.
That works out too, and that's for Choices Women's Clinic. That's choicesministries.org. Okay, so breaking news. The House Foreign Relations Committee, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee has voted on Mike Pompeo. The vote resulted in a tie. Now, how can that happen when you have an odd number of senators who sit on the committee and one more Republican than Democrat? How do you end up in a tie when one of the senators is not there to vote? Senator Isaacson, I believe from Georgia, is attending a funeral this evening and therefore wasn't in the Foreign Relations Committee hearing and wasn't able to vote. And he would have been a vote for Pompeo. So the vote resulted in a tie. Now, in this case, the tie does not go to the runner, so to speak. The tie, in essence, means the vote did not succeed. It didn't really fail, but it didn't succeed. So he cannot be sent straight to the Senate floor for a vote. Senator Corker, by the way, the Republican from Tennessee who's resigning, is the committee chairman. And he is trying to figure out what they're going to do next to get Mike Pompeo onto the floor of the Senate, where he surely will win confirmation. This may require a cloture vote, though, and that could complicate things greatly. But that's where it stands right now. And the committee is still meeting as we speak in Washington, D.C. If there's any other development during the show, I will certainly let you know. The Senate plans on voting for his confirmation on the floor of the Senate over in the next day or so. So, obviously, the pressure is on. Why they would go ahead with a committee knowing that they needed every single Republican vote in order to get this thing done, I beyond me. It seems to me they could have postponed it until Isaacson got back. It looks like the committee is breaking up now, and Corker does not look happy. There are gloomy faces all about. So it appears as though it did not get done. We shall see where it goes from here. I do see a couple of smiles. They appear to be on Democrat faces. So once again, this is bad political grandstanding. If not Mike Pompeo, who is better qualified for this job? And the thing that they say they're afraid is that he's too much like Trump. In other words, his foreign policy views are too much like Trump. Well, thank you very much. That's why one reason why he's been nominated. So we shall, as I said, I'll be monitoring this, and we'll see where it goes from here. But the committee has now broken up, and it appears as though they did not get it. They did not get her done. So we'll see. The other breaking news is they have caught the Nashville shooter. He came out of the woods today. He was armed, but he gave up without a fight. He is now in custody. Also, there was and it appears evermore that there was a terrorist attack in Toronto this afternoon. There are now 9 confirmed dead and at least 18 who were wounded in this attack. And it was a rented van, a rider van, just you know, like you would see a delivery van, not of any special size. That entered a broad, wide sidewalk, a sidewalk large enough to drive a vehicle easily down through it. And for a half a mile, it drove down this main thoroughfare in the heart of Toronto, running people over. And it certainly is being investigated and has all the characteristics of a terrorist attack. The perpetrator, when the vehicle stopped, was surrounded by police, and they did apprehend him. The witness reports so far are that he got out of the rental van, saying, I've got a gun, which he did not. No reports of him saying anything else or of any terrorist group claiming responsibility. However, we do know. And we do not know the man's identity, but we do know that a number of refugees have been welcomed into Canada, people that they don't know who they are, and the Islamic State is still out there. And this is the type of attack that they have called for from their believers in Western countries all over the world. Roger is on the line right now and wants to talk about this Toronto attack. Roger, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Okay. You did the update that I last heard, 9 and over a dozen injuries. Yeah, we just need to pray for all those casualties, victims, and the families of that terrorist attack. It's definitely a terrorist. He tried to terrorize them with, I don't want to make light of it, but a weapon of mass destruction, an assault vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. Making light of it. You're just being real.
Trying to reframe the narrative from what they're going to try to say.
Yeah. You're trying to be real in a world of fake news.
Yes.
Exactly. All right.
And also, as far as I mentioned, the deep state, our prayers are working. It's working. Trump and the GOP are exposing all their lies, their faults, and they're turning on themselves and eat themselves alive. So we just continue to pray that through.
Got that right. And that swamp is draining ever little bit by little bit, but it's a draining. All right. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate your phone call. And you can join us, too, at 407-774-8255 is the number. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Macron of France is joining. He and his wife are joining the first couple at Mount Vernon, Washington's home, for dinner this evening. And they'll be meeting tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, of course, will be the first official state dinner at the White House since President Trump took office. And it's interesting that Macron is the one who gets the honor. But, of course, when the president was over there, they showed him great respect. And he is, in essence, returning the favor. By the way, Macron has made it very, very clear that he considers that he and the president have an extraordinarily good relationship. He sees the two of them as sort of birds of the same feather, you might say. Mavericks, I believe, was the word he used. But certainly he values the president's relationship. And that's smart. So at least the guy has got that going for him. So hopefully this visit will go well. By the way, that estate dinner tomorrow night has gotten a little, shall we say, negative attention from the media because no Democrats nor people from the media have been invited to the dinner. And why should they be? Right. They're there just to try to pick out little somethings here and there that they can use to criticize the president and perhaps this relationship, this budding relationship, bromance, even if you want to call it that, between Macron and President Trump. What we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back here in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Dino Rentos. And Dino Rentos is one of our sponsors. You've heard us talk about the Dino Rentos studios over there, where they can, if you can conceive it, they can build it. And one of the reasons that is possible is because of Dino Rentos. This guy has got the mind of the finest engineers and software programmers and all of that, and artists all wrapped up into one. And he's been following this cryptocurrency stuff because he has been on the cutting edge of computer technology since day one. And so he's going to try to help us walk through this this business here. So we'll be taking that up with him here in just a couple minutes. But first, I want to remind you that tomorrow night is Tuesday night. That means it's Trump 2020 Club night, Tuesdays, here on the American Adversaries. And, of course, Randy Ross will be in, and we'll be talking Trump business and other stuff as well. And, of course, reminding you about the parade that we're all participating in at the downtown Orlando, the second annual Puerto Rican Day Parade and Festival. And you can join the Trump 2020 Club on Facebook. And, of course, Trump 2020 Club Tuesdays are brought to us by Sutherland Nissan. We're so proud to have them as a sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. And U.S. Marine and Sutherland Nissan, all the great folks he has working with him over there, do a fine job of helping people get good automobiles at good deals in the same package. And they're located at East Colonial Drive and Chickasaw Trail. The website is OrlandoNissan.com, OrlandoNissan.com. And when you go out there, make sure you check out those Titan trucks. Now, that's what I'm going to be riding in this Saturday in the parade, one of their Titan trucks, a big old jacked up one. one. It's really cool. I've seen it out there. And it's these Titan trucks are really awesome trucks. Mike McBath has one, and they tow their horses around with a doggone thing and hay and all that sort of thing, and it still looks beautiful. And when you go out there to look at their cars and their Titan trucks, tell them the Titans of Talk Radio, the American Adversaries, sent you all out there. And don't forget, when you go out there and you take a test drive in one of their new vehicles, you will get a $25 gift card that you can spend wherever you want, and there is no obligation, whether you buy, lease, or not. You'll get that $25 gift card. All of that at Sutherland Nissan, East Colonial Drive, and Chickasaw Trail, OrlandoNissan.com. And Sutherland Nissan is a sponsor of the Puerto Rican Day Parade. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, and you too. And don't forget, the great El Dursky is coming up after us. Are you in El Dorado? I am.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089. 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com. Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life. Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
You have I-4 slowdowns as far back as Longwood all the way through downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the Millennia area right now. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to Junyan Parkway. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area all the way to the 408-417 exchange, maybe a little bit after that. I'm Zwayne in the Transit Traffic Update, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
This song kind of fits Dino there. All right, let me bring on to the show Dino Rentos of Dino Rentos Studios. Dino, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Chris, how's it going? Good, good.
Hey, I think I must call you Crypto Man. How about that?
There you go. I'm always keeping busy, getting my hands into everything.
Because you know about all this crypto technology, and crypto basically means computer technology, doesn't it? Essentially?
Yeah, there's a combination there. It's done with computers because you're actually using cryptographic hashing, and it's a way to encode information so that only the people sending it and receiving it know what's being transmitted because they both have the keys to uncipher it. So it's called cryptographic. Like the Germans, they used to send their messages cryptographically.
Right.
And unless you had the deciphering device, you couldn't read the message.
All right. Okay, so now I know we can't explain everything about cryptocurrencies in one night, so we're going to take this a little bit at a time. But what I want to first do with you tonight is kind of get a little background on you so people understand where you're coming from and how you understand all of this. Now, first of all, you're from Long Island up there, and before you moved down here, you were into computers way back when they were just coming out. Right?
Exactly. Got my first machine in 78, 79, and started tinkering with that and writing video games back then because
There was no such thing. And, being an artist, I got so excited because I could create a little character and put it on the screen and write a little routine. And if I pushed the joystick up, the thing would go boink and it would jump. And I was able to bring my art alive. And that was the exciting part to me, to actually make things come alive artistically. So, back then, started writing video games for the VIC-20, Commodore 64, the Apple C, all those good things. Before there was an internet, before there were hard drives available, I actually stored my programs on cassette tapes. And you would have to load it off of a cassette player and save your information on a cassette player.
Not only could you write software, you built the machines too, right? The hardware.
Of course, exactly. Believe it or not, when I was in high school, I actually took the digital electronics because it was relatively new back then, and was in some of the advanced classes for that, and actually represented our school for the State of New York contest. And so, I learned how to put circuits together and do things as I went along. And literally after I got out of school, I actually opened up some computer stores and was the go-to person for anything that you needed to know about any piece of software or any piece of hardware. But in retrospect, it was quite easy back then because there was only, so many computers and so many pieces of software. Now you can have a whole career just administering mail. So it's kind of crazy.
Indeed. So at what point did you decide to move to Florida and open the business that you're doing now?
Well, basically, in 2000, I came down to Florida, and I was still in computers. I was doing systems integration and design, came down here to Florida to continue that path. People would call me in to fix their web problems or large-scale database integration.
So you became
you
became a troubleshooter for organizations.
Exactly. I did a lot of consulting work. I was the guy you brought in to fix the problem when nobody else could figure it out. And that kept me busy. And, at some point in 2009, every 6 months I would go a little crazy and I'd be wipe everything off the table and I'd sit there and make something out of paper mache or clay or paint something. And in 2009, when that happened, I said, I'm going to try just something new and I'm going to go the art direction. And hence why we started the prop shop. But computers have always been near and dear to my heart and technology that's behind it. And so obviously I always keep it. And what it's allowed me to do is to apply a lot of the technology into the artistry of what are things that are done here at the shop.
Right, right. And I want to cut you off there because I have to take a break, but stay with me. I'm going to get you back on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go down there and see some of the wizardry, they'd love to give you a tour through the place. And just go to DinoRentosStudios.com to find out the address and to set up an appointment. In the meantime, we'll be right back with Dino Rentos. And one Aubrey Kahn has strayed into the studio. And he's sporting a Walk for 2018 Life t-shirt. We'll talk more about that later on, too. Just please stay with us.
People down in Florida can't be still when old Leonard Skinner's picking down in Jacksonville. People down in Georgia come from near and far to hear Richard Bell.
FM 105.5 and AM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Some breaking news. The Senate panel has voted to recommend to send CIA Director Mike Pompeo to the next stage of confirmation to possibly head up the State Department as President Trump's next Secretary of State. And the vote was tight. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul had even come around with a yes vote for Pompeo. A Toronto police official says 9 have been killed, 16 injured from a van that struck pedestrians on a sidewalk in the north part of the city. The driver fled the scene before being caught and taken into custody. Witnesses say the driver drove at least a half mile intentionally at people. The suspect in a quadruple homicide at a Waffle House early Sunday in Nashville has been arrested. 29-year-old Travis Reinking was taken into custody. He was armed at the time of his arrest. On Wall Street today, the Dow closing down 14 to 24,449. NASDAQ down 18. S&P unchanged at 2670. This is SRN News.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
Hey, this is Johnny B. Bad, the bad man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got us here live until 7 o'clock, and then Larry Elder takes over from there. All right, we're in the Relax and Comfort Studios. We invite you to call us at 407-774-8255. Aubrey Kahn, who's my co-host on Sunday nights, has joined me in the studio. If you missed our show last night, or any show you missed, or you want to hear it again, just go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and our archive is located there. And I'm Christopher Hart. Nick's on the bridge, 407-774-8255 is the number. And on the line with us right now is Dino Rentos, one of our sponsors, Dino Rentos Studios. And, of course, they provide part of our prize package as well. And what Dino has done is he's taken his, as I said, he's got the mind of an engineer, a computer software writer, and an artist. And he's combined all of this into a business, which is Dino Rentos Studios. And as we were going into the break there, Dino, you were talking about how you were able to turn your artistic flair and your expertise in computers into what you do over there at Dino Rentos. And you've actually designed your own 3D printing machines, haven't you?
Yeah, actually, I've been able to apply my systems integration technology into building CNC milling systems, CNC cardboard cutting systems, 3D printers, and this allows us really to do things that other shops can't or would have to source out because of the technology that's, and knowledge that's required to put this together. So it gave us a leg up. For example, I've been 3D printing for 7.5-8 years now. So well ahead of before it even became fashionable.
Right. Before, yeah, you were 3D printing before 3D printing was cool. And it allows you to be very precise in what you're presenting, what you're printing out. And in your case, you're printing out, for lack of a better word, correct me if I'm wrong, but pieces of artwork, so to speak, that are used in businesses for displays and decorations.
Exactly.
And things of that nature.
Exactly. And the prime example, we're building a submarine for a company right now. Not a functional one, but a mock-up. And you got propellers and motors and weird sliders and gadgets, and those are not going to be made in foam. Foam is a low-resolution material. But with the 3D printers, we can print out large-scale custom components and parts and fan blades and whatever is required to produce this giant model, just like if you were to buy the parts and get it in a Revell model kit, just the R parts are, a foot big and what have you. So,
right.
It's wonderful to be able to apply the two technologies together and use that skill set at the same time.
Now,
and, hence the reason why I was offering to afford our audience some information regarding a different type of technology.
Yeah, one real last quick thing about this. Last time I was over there, ladies and gentlemen, Dino showed me around again and showed me you have a live two-scale Liberty Bell. And if you're just like standing there looking at this, you would think it is the Liberty Bell. And but you get up close, you touch it, you know the difference. But to look at it, you think this is the actual Liberty Bell. And that was 3D printed, was it not? Parts of it?
That was a combination. The bell itself being made of foam for the shaping and what have you. But we 3D printed all of the verbiage that goes around the bell, the Pass and Stow and the Philadelphia and all the good text that's embedded on it. And it also has steel in it because this is going to be an outdoor structural item. And so replicating the bell. So it uses a combination of CAD technology on the computer screen and then transferring that to milling systems that cut out the parts. And then the artists put the parts together, weld together steel skeleton that goes inside of it. That all comes together. It can then get shot with a fire-rated plastic to give it like a fiberglass shell. And then we use our artistry to faux paint it to give it that simulation of looking just like an actual bronzed-aged bell.
And by the way, there's a photograph of me standing next to it that we'll put up on Facebook tonight so you can see exactly what we are talking about. And, okay, so now you're obviously still in tune with what's going on with the latest in computers and computer technology, correct?
Correct. And one of those categories that I stay in tune with is what's called cryptocurrency. And we had discussed that prior before what the word crypto basically is representing.
Right.
Being that it's encrypted information. Currency meaning obviously something, a store of value. That can then be transferred between people
or
locations.
When about did cryptocurrencies come about? When did they start showing up?
Well, basically in 2009, there was a bunch of cryptographers that came up with a concept. And this passed along from probably as far as even 2007. But it wasn't until 2009 where one of the ideas stuck. And it was a pseudonym, somebody named Satoshi Nakamoto is the name that he used and talked through on the internet. And he somehow was able to garner people together and get the first prototype actually running. And it was maybe 20 or 30 people that got involved initially and prototyped it and actually got a system working. And the important part about it is that, A, to this day, we actually still don't know who Satoshi Nakamoto is. We've never been able to identify if it was a person, a group of people, a government. Nobody knows who Satoshi Nakamoto is, but the person was, it appeared to be, very concerned for their life, because in 2008 we had that financial failure and they were really just fed up with money just being taken and being printed, and then we get taxed to death to pay it back, and a big sucking sound of all the dollars coming out of your pocket no matter which way you turn. So they came up with this concept of being able to have a unique item so that you can then assign a value to it. And here's the problem. Like, when you buy a piece of software or you have a file on your computer, I can copy that file and send it to you, Chris, via email, and now you have an exact copy of that same thing.
Right.
And that can go on, and I can make thousands of copies of the same thing. And that's the cool thing about computers. And kids, you know, they unfortunately copy music or what have you instead of paying for it. But they can make duplicates. This concept of adding the cryptography to the software, to the code, allowed to make a unique item that can never be duplicated, which is a very unique concept in computer technology, because usually you want to duplicate something. Here I can actually make a unique item, and it can never be duplicated as the same item.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So if there's only one of this particular item, well, I can say it has a value, because it can't be copied, it can't be duplicated, and can't be cracked because of the cryptography. And so the concept behind this was to generate a cryptocurrency, and that first one was called Bitcoin, is what they named it. And to this day, when you think of cryptocurrency, everybody thinks of Bitcoin.
Right.
And that's usually what gets people started in this. And there's a series of issues here that keep it safe. It's the people that do the ledger, or what they call mining. There's all of the nodes that are out there. There's all sorts of computers. There's hundreds of thousands of computers all working on this cryptocurrency, and that's what keeps it safe.
Well, we're gonna get to all of that, but I want to go back and ask a couple of questions. First of all, can anybody start a cryptocurrency if basically all that you need is that it be unique, uncopyable, and people desire it?
Yeah, actually, just about anybody can generate a cryptocurrency.
How many are out there?
Thousands. There's probably 25 to 3,000 coins that are out there currently. Most of them, you know, there's not too many people that are going to be interested in purchasing them. But there are many, many, many coins out there. There's everything from Trump coins to the pot coins, to chili coins, to you name it, they've made coins for with a name of something on it. So yeah, that can be done, and just about anybody could do it. But the key here is that most people will either, there's a couple of categories that coins can be broken up. Most people either purchase for investment and to hold their store of value. Some people will mine the coins, and these are categories we could talk over the next,
yeah,
you know, days or that we go along.
Yeah.
But there's many ways to to hold and to acquire cryptocurrency. And, you know, and I want to be able to explain why you would and how it works and how it's safe as we go along and, through this process.
And any of the risks, we'll address any of the risks that might be involved in this as well. As I said, you know, obviously we could only begin the conversation tonight, so I only have time for about one more question from you, but we'll continue this conversation over the next few weeks, or as long as it takes to explain this and give ourselves a real good understanding, because, and this would be my final question to you, is, are cryptocurrencies going away?
Ah, so when I'm going to preface this with a quick story. When I was younger and starting off in computers, when they first started building them, you'd have your basic computer, and they would make the first programs, which were called subroutines, and then what happens is that they got more complex and built programs on top of programs, operating systems, and then your Microsoft Word, and then you go from there. And when I look at what's called blockchain technology, for the most part of most coins, which is the basis of how they work, when I see these things, it's clear to me that these are the first subroutines of this internet-wide technology, because not only do they store value, but some coins are actually smart money. They can actually be programmed to do things. So it's very clear to me that this is the start of something extremely big going forward, and that there are going to be tons of new technologies built on top of these things. We're in the very, very beginning. And if you take a look and you start reading through the papers, you'll find out that the banks, even though they're saying no, 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 they're investing. They're buying the crypto exchanges. They're buying technologies and creating technologies and investing in these technologies, because they are changing the way the internet will work. And it'll be a completely different way, and where computers will actually interact in far more sophisticated ways with each other.
Does this qualify as artificial intelligence?
You know, funny you should ask that. There's one called Deep Brain Chain, and it's a coin, and basically it sells AI technology, and it uses all of the computers together, working together, that are mining the coins. At the same time, they're doing AI tech algorithms. So now this program is now clouded across all these computers that are connected. So it's kind of spooky at the same time, but really cool. And yes, anything you could think of, AI, manufacturing chains, you know, the parts and where they were made and how it got there, and this way you can confirm it's an authentic product. Even there's banking. It's going to change the way things work, and specifically in the banking and logistics industries.
All right. Well, Crypto Man, Dino, we got to leave it there for tonight, but I think we got a good start on getting a handle on this. Because I concur with you. This I believe is just a sign of how our economy is changing because of the rapid pace of change in technology. So we need to try to keep up with it, right?
All right. And it's we go forward. We'll discuss what's Bitcoin, why Bitcoin, how to acquire Bitcoin or whatever coins, and how to own them and save them and secure them, and you know, as they come up, we'll discuss it.
All right. Always great talking to you, Dino, and maybe you and Janice can come in and join us Thursday night. Consider that an invitation. All right?
Awesome. Hey, that's exciting. Thank you.
All right, you're always a great judge for our contest, too, and we appreciate your support for the American Adversaries. Look forward to talking to you.
Of course, I would make sure I give it all the time. You guys are well worthy.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Dino Rentos. The website is dinorentosstudios.com. All right, and we'll take a break and come back. We got more. Once again, the committee has broken up. They did not pass out Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State. That does not mean his nomination is over. It just means it's going to be more difficult now to get confirmation. In the meantime, it's not difficult to stick there and stay with us, because we're coming right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got the American Adversaries, Larry Elder next. Coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios, got Dino Rentos. Wait a minute, Dino Rentos. We had him on the line just now. I got Aubrey Kahn in the studio with me now. And you guys don't look anything alike.
No, we don't. I'm much better looking.
I'll let you take that up with him.
Yeah. And I'm modest about it.
That's right. That's right. By the way, they are reporting on Fox now that former President George H.W. Bush has been hospitalized. And, of course, it was just Saturday when they laid to rest Barbara Bush. And, you know, for couples who've been together that long,
it's nothing unusual.
Yeah. For one, if one goes, that the other one follows soon after. We're not wishing him ill in any way, shape, or form, but...
It's the way it is.
It is. That's life. So we'll monitor that as well. If anything changes during the next few minutes of the show, we'll let you know. But you heard me mention earlier the Walk for Life going on this Saturday at Baldwin Park, in particular, the Blue Jacket Park there. And by the way, they call it Blue Jacket Park because it used to have a mock-up of a U.S. Navy destroyer that bore the name Blue Jacket. And the recruits would all train out there. And so this Saturday at 8 o'clock will be registration. At 9 o'clock will be the actual Walk for Life. And then it's a family event, and bring the whole family out, the kids and everything. And this is a fundraiser for the Choices Women's Clinic. And you can go to choiceswomensclinic.org. I'm sorry, am I getting this right? I'm sorry, no, choicesministries.org. That's choicesministries.org to find out more about this. And if you care to make a donation and help John Barros meet his goal, you can go to ministrysync.com, and the benefactor would be Choices Women's Clinic, and then John Barros. That'd be ministrysync.com, or just show up there Saturday morning, and you can make a donation right there for the Choices Women's Clinic. And Aubrey here has been a big Choices Women's Clinic supporter ever since you've been around supporting my show.
Yeah. Even before then.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I met John Barros through you the first time.
I don't remember, but, you know, this is a, for want of a better term, business. It's a ministry that does the most incredible work. It really, really does.
And it's at no charge to the women who come to the clinic. And they now have a medical staff there. They do more than just sonograms. They can do physicals. They saved a woman's life here recently.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. And the babies as well. And little Marcus, last report, was doing just fine.
Right.
And even though he was born prematurely, emergency birth to save both his and the mother's life. And it was because of Choices Women's Clinic.
Yep, exactly.
And that's just one instance of what they do over there.
You know, when Daria Monroe left, she left some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
But Vicki Bosford has filled them, and the vision has continued to expand. She's done amazing work.
And they now are located on West Colonial Drive, right there at Tampa Avenue. And if you know anyone who needs their services, by all means, send them over there. If you would like to be a volunteer, they are looking for volunteers, especially people who have medical backgrounds. And you don't have to, but that helps. And then, of course, this fundraising event Saturday morning, we would like you to participate in. And then you can go and participate in that as a walker, and then go and take in the parade downtown and watch the other people do the walking, right? And so it could be a whole day of fun. The weather, the long-term outlook right now looks good for this weekend.
Yes, it does.
And we hope that that holds true. And it'd be a great weekend to get out and take advantage of a great Florida spring day. So that's Saturday morning at Blue Jacket Park over there in Baldwin Park for the Walk for Life 2018. And then noon, the parade downtown, the second annual Puerto Rican Day Parade and then festival right there at the Performing Arts Center after the parade is over. So you got a full slate of fun this Saturday for great causes. We certainly hope that you can join us for one or both of those events. So please do take advantage of that. And once again, we also want to thank everybody who came out to Relax and Comfort the other night. Aubrey was there, and we had a lot of fun that night.
It was a great time.
It was. It was. I tell you what, those folks know how to throw a party now. So and they'll be doing it again. If you did not get a chance to make it this time, Don DePaulis promised to do it again. And we got a lot of big things planned for this summer. You know, you got the election coming up this fall, and this is it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. We can see with what's going on in this committee, even just to get Pompeo passed through, it's like pulling teeth, and it should not be this way. The president deserves reinforcements, and we deserve to get him up there. So we're going to be pushing hard to do just that. And you can help us out by joining the American Adversaries Army by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and you can enlist right there. You can choose your rank. And we can be bought.
Oh, that is news to me.
Those general stars can be had, okay? And then, of course, please also follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio. And please join the Trump 2020 Club. That's Trump 2020 Club on Facebook. And, of course, tomorrow night will be Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. All right, that's about going to wrap it up for us tonight. Larry Elder is coming up next. And we'll be back here tomorrow night with more of the American Adversaries. And, of course, we're monitoring all the breaking news out there. Once again, Pompeo did not get passed out of committee. It's not a done deal yet, but we're going to get her done. And George H.W. Bush has been hospitalized. All right. In the meantime, that's going to wrap it for tonight. So, good night, everybody.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Media.